By the late 1980s, heavy rock and industrial began to fuse with the debut of bands like Godflesh, Ministry, and Nine Inch Nails. These bands and others brought electronic, ambient, and noise styles and sounds to heavy rock music, and industrial rock and metal was born. On this week's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus podcast, we're going to discuss the 15 most important industrial rock and metal bands of all time.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. We have the Power Trio in full blast, full regalia, guys, tonight. We've got Keith the Hawk Hawkins. We grew a little chin there. Look you up.
Fancy.
That's the best I can do, man.
And Lily's not growing any chins. This is Lily V6 as well. So we got Keith Hawkins, Lily V6. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. You can check out more information about all of us at loulombardirocks.com. Great community of folks sharing music, talking about music all day long, 24/7. Giveaways, all kind of fun stuff there. loulombardirocks.com. Shout out to a couple sponsors. To Wolf's Customs. Hey guys, listen, you're gonna go out, you're gonna be doing these videos now online. You gotta have something that's really gonna stand out when people are scrolling. They got the thumbs going there. They see you up rocking out with a really badass looking guitar, something that really sticks out, really different. They are gonna stop and check you out. I guarantee it. Wolfscustoms.online guarantees it. They can do hollow flash, they can do a bunch of different custom finishes on your musical instrument, bass, ukulele, harmonica. I don't know. Can Chris paint a harmonica? I'm sure.
Probably a triangle.
He said he could do anything. He can do anything. So check him out. Go to wolfscustoms.online. Tell him Ludini sent you. Shout out to Rock Rage Radio as well. We had a little mix up with those guys this week. John, I apologize for that. We apparently were spamming their Facebook feed every 5 minutes. So it was a race to, I would delete something, it would show back up here. It was an app we had hooked up, and we got it straightened out. So anyways, go to rockrageradio.com. You can listen to great guitar-driven rock 24/7. So we had a fun week this week. I know I did. Lily did, too.
I did that.
But we will start with the Hawk because we haven't seen the Hawk. What's going on? Anything good, exciting going on in your life, Hawk, before we get into the show tonight?
You know, just bracing for hurricanes. You know what? It's not going to hit here, so.
Not good.
That's what they said before. And then
famous last words.
I'm sure you're fine.
Then before you know it, I get a call from Keith and Samantha. Hey, we're going to need a place to stay while they rebuild our house.
So. I don't know if I'd actually drive all the way to Canterbury while I rebuild my house. I probably could find other places, but... That is an idea. So if that ever comes to fruition, then you know that I put that on the list and was like, shit, you know, since I'm getting a brand new house, where would I like to chill until then? Canonsburg, PA. That's where to be, folks.
That's what's happening, man. If you want to get down onto town, you went to Canonsburg. Lily and I attended her sister's wedding on Saturday. It was a lot of fun.
It was a wonderful all-day event, but yes, it was a lot of fun. My feet are still hurting from dancing because I did that all night long.
And there's a video out there of Ludini and Lily doing the chicken dance. So
it'll be out there eventually.
Yeah, so so keep your eyes peeled for that. We're going to get into tonight's show here in a minute. But first, we're going to play Love Bone, and we're going to come back, and we're going to be talking about the top 15 most important industrial rock and metal bands of all time. This is Love Bone on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We're going to be right back. And no. I'll edit that out later.
Your heart in my trail.
All right, Inside Out, Love Bone of the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Don't forget to go to lulombardirocks.com. Okay, so industrial rock and metal. And we're going to be talking about, this isn't any, as usual, it's not any particular order. We just sort of want to kind of touch on the bands that really kind of like did it, made it happen, maybe pioneered some things, influenced other folks, et cetera. So,
et cetera.
So who wants to go first? Who's going to jump in? What's going to happen? How are we going to do the thing?
Keith? I'll go.
Oh, Lily's going
to
go.
If you want me to go.
Lily. Killy.
Well, let's just start it off with one of the pioneers. So we're going to go Ministry. You mentioned them in the intro. From Chicago, formed in 81, Al Jorgensen. He's actually the only soul member right now. They started out as a synth pop and evolved into what they are, what we know them as today. What had huge commercial success with the three of their albums, The Land of Rape and Honey, The Mind is a Terrible Thing to Taste, and Psalm 69. First two went gold, some went platinum. They are noted for their live performances, despite the fact that Jorgensen does not like to tour. So they have great shows, but he doesn't like to do it. They do extended versions of their songs and have some disturbing imagery during their live shows. But my favorite songs are Jesus Built My Hot Rod, So What, Rio Grande Blood, Stigmata, and Just One Fix.
So Jesus Built My Hot Rod.
I think everybody knows that one.
Keith, are you a Ministry person?
Yeah, I have Psalm 69 somewhere in this CD collection pile. And I think it's a... Wait, hold on 1 second.
Uh-oh.
Thank you. Yes.
Oh.
Fresh. Fresh.
What are you drinking?
Like I'm introducing to you to a new drink tonight. This is called... What is it?
A Gin Gimlet.
What is it?
A Gin Gimlet.
This is Gin Gimlet.
Ooh,
Gin
fancy.
Gimlet. Not a mint julep?
No, that's...
A Gin Gimlet.
Maybe, I don't know.
At the Casa de Hawk.
Casa de Hawk. What's in
I think
that?
My new goal is going to be to introduce a new drink every week. So not only will I be promoting rock and roll, I'll also be promoting alcoholism. So yeah, it's a double bill for you all.
It sort of goes hand in hand, though. I think
exactly.
So
I don't do drugs, so we're screwed there. So I still have there'll be no sex. So I did alcohol and drugs and rock and roll, but drugs.
What's the difference?
Drug alcohol.
I'll have to just deal with that, I guess.
So, now that you've had your giblet.
Gimlet.
I always thought it was giblet, too. So, giblet sounds better to me. I don't know why.
So, tell me about Ministry. Particularly your ministry, Keith.
Bow your heads. I think those, but the only really, I didn't know they started that early. My God, I mean, it's like a lot of these bands seem to... just be almost one or two people at times. Some of these industrial bands where it's just like it's a brainchild of one person. And like the cool thing about this kind of music is, I mean, there's so many like really cool heavy guitar riffs, very like wet, saturated vocals, very affected out vocals, heavy drum loops mixed with live drums at times too, and a lot of heavy bass riffs and even some like dance grooves going on. So this is a very interesting style of music that I think does cross-pollinate, we'll say, into the metal and industrial world, where a lot of these bands just had definitely a different sound. But the Ministry thing, I think, goes back to some of their, I think I was introduced to that band during some of their, like, Headbangers Ball video days, of all things. They just had some really cool, like, Just One Fix, I remember, NWO, a lot of these just really simplistic riffs, but a lot of, you know, they are very, like, repetitive, but it kind of gets you that hypnotic sort of groove going. And Ministry is definitely one of those bands that I think that has stood the test of time with this genre. And I once again, being just Al Jorgensen, and I think he'll just probably run that into the ground as much as he can. So I mean, I've never seen him live, but I mean, it's like I'm sure it's cool. I've seen a couple little videos online, but it's just one of those bands that probably got this whole ball rolling.
What do you like? What's the difference between, okay, let me just ask you guys, in your minds, between like industrial rock / metal and like just like either regular industrial music or like techno? Like, because these guys aren't Kraftwerk, but they have that hypnotic, repetitive thing going. Is it because they bring an edgier kind of attitude to it with maybe some guitar, maybe some live drums?
I think it's more fusing more than just one genre together to come with the industrial. I don't think it's like it's not just techno. Like they'll do like synth, thrash and techno, and they'll like put a
synth,
bunch of
maybe synth pop, yeah, and stuff are kind of like incorporated.
Yeah,
is that how you kind of feel it, Keith?
I think, I mean, anything that's going to be metal, if we're going to talk industrial metal, I mean, or just like, you know, hard rock industrial fusion like that, where I think the surprising thing about this stuff is you're definitely going to have definitely heavy bass and guitar riffs, a lot of drum loops. But I think what stands out to a lot of these bands that makes them have their sound is the really heavy keyboard sound is on a lot of these bands have taken synth and keyboards and mixed it with those heavy riffs and made their own sound. And I think that's what gives this kind of genre its you know, classification. It's like, it's right there. This is what makes industrial metal stand out, where it's like a lot of, like I said, the metal riffs, but then you have a lot of keyboard layered underneath, you know? So,
well, I think too that I think they're using more like abrasive keyboard sounds as well. You know, oh, yeah, what I mean? They're not like, it's not like they're real prettied up kind of, you know, string wash and stuff like that. And it's not the traditional type rock sounds like Rhodes piano or Hammond B3. You know, they're really kind of digging. They're creating new, like a different texture by the way they do that. And is some of this stuff, and we're going to talk about a bunch of bands tonight. Keith, you're going to talk next on a band. But is there looping involved? Are they playing to some sequencers and stuff, or is it more organic, or does it just depend on the band?
Like, it depends on the band. I mean, I've seen a lot of like stuff where there might be a loop going on with like that a keyboard player could program the loop, and then you have live drums on top of it, so you're basically playing to a sequence. Nine Inch Nails did a lot of that stuff where you hear a live drummer, but there's also a lot of sequencing going on. And I think even more modern day bands, if you want to consider I've seen Marilyn Manson on a lot of these lists, whether you agree with that or not, but I've seen Marilyn Manson on a lot of the industrial rock lists. And I think that when you go see a Marilyn Manson concert, there's a heavy distortion going on the bass guitar, but there is a live drummer playing. So you get a lot of live drummers mixed with the sequences and the loops going on. So it's almost like it's giving you that double effect where you can get some like really cool, you know, layered drums with the live drums with the samples going on too. So
okay, so we mentioned Ministry. What do you got, Keith? Who's on your list?
I think another one of these bands that just kind of stands out is Godflesh. The one album I do have somewhere is Street Cleaner, and all the songs on there are pretty much are by the book. When it comes to industrial rock, that you're going to get a lot of this. The heavy, heavy guitar riffs and with very abrasive vocals and dark, dark, dark lyrics with this band. So you're going to get like a lot of that, you know, I think before their time sort of bands. They were like, this band was doing that kind of stuff before that. You know, it became probably super popular where it's, you know, later on, a lot of bands were doing this and it was coming more and more out of the woodwork where bands were getting sold, you know, signed left and right because they had that slightly industrial sound, but I think some bands were ahead of their time, and this is one of them. You know,
Well, I think the fact that it was different. There was a time when if you were different, people like record labels and stuff took notice. You know, before things became overly homogenized. Do we have any background in this band, Lily? Do you have anything?
Nothing. I didn't do Godflesh on my list.
For in the future, let's try to get some kind of like little history or something so we can entertain the audience with the stuff like that. Lily, what do you got next?
I put KMFDM on my list, German industrial band from Hamburg, 1984. I can't pronounce any of their names, so I'm not even going to try. But this actually started out as a performance art project. It wasn't actually a band.
Kill Mother Effing Depeche Mode. Isn't that what it stands for?
I actually don't know.
But the guitar player said, that was a video with the guitar player, his name I probably can't pronounce either. It's just, he named four things before he actually said what the name of the, you know, what it stands for. He never really committed to nothing on them. But the last one is Kill MF and Depeche Mode. He did like kind of laugh at that, and that was the last one he mentioned. But he also had three other ones, which I can't even name either. So,
well, I think there's a really good example, and I want you to talk about KM in one second. But speaking of Depeche Mode, there's a band that really relied heavily on synth, but isn't really industry.
No, I would never
rock.
Call them.
You know what I mean? So
no, it's that they were ahead of their time when it comes to the alternative rock movement. I don't think I would consider them a industrial
rock,
band by
industrial metal. Yeah. So go ahead. Yeah. What else? What do you got on these guys?
They were one of the first bands to bring industrial to the mainstream audiences. In their music, they have the heavy metal guitar riffs, electronic music samples, and both male and female vocals, so they can have a wider range of different types of songs. The thing that people don't really like about them is that they're super political. Many of the lyrics take stands against violence, war, and oppression. They do release like an album every like year and a half, and they do a major tour after each release. At most concert venues, though,
are they still an active band?
Yep. For
oh
sure.
Wow!
I've seen them.
I know that.
At most concert venues, they will mingle with fans before and after the show. And they are known for their accessibility to fans. They will talk to you on their Facebook page. They will email you. They will sign anything you want, take all the photographs.
Will they send me money?
They will probably not send you money.
Okay.
The songs I like are The Problem, Down and Out, Juke Joint, Jezebel is probably one of my most favorite songs by them. Don't Blow Your Top and Son of a Gun. So, yeah. I saw them at Smalls.
You're a fan of this band. Do you like this band, Keith? No. They suck.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I don't really. I mean, I had them on my list, but I don't have like a lot of like their tunes. I mean, I know that you joined Jezebel and a couple other tunes that like I don't even know the titles of. But it's like, yeah, some of them stand out more than others. I think that they have a extensive member list. I mean, if you look up, if you Wikipedia their band, I mean, there's like a ton of people that's been in that band. I mean, it's
I literally can't pronounce any of the names.
No, not at all. That's one thing about these bands too. But this is, a lot of these bands are German, and they definitely. I mean, if you could do a whole podcast on German industrial bands, because that seems to be their thing. You know?
Well, I mean, there's no secret. We are going to be talking about Rammstein, so
that, you know, yeah. I mean, as long as we don't talk about, you know, we can always do the best, you know, German bands, but Rammstein would definitely be on the industrial list next to the Scorpions, of course. But I mean, that's a whole other thing.
So who do you have next, Keith?
I'm going to go with a, not to take a two-for-one deal, but if you're going to do one, you got to do the other. I'm going to go with Rob Zombie and White Zombie. I mean, these two go hand-in-hand. I've seen White Zombie live, and it was interesting. I mean, there's a lot of, just that four-piece band. It's, you know, actually, a trio, and Rob Zombie just runs around the stage the whole time and does his thing. But it's like, they have a lot of sequences going on, too, when I've seen them play. I think they were on an Ozfest when I've seen them, and it was, definitely loud. Rob Zombie definitely has a lot of energy on stage, and I think that he took what White Zombie was doing and definitely made his solo stuff pretty much, even made, in my opinion, a little bit more industrial than what White Zombie.
Absolutely,
was.
Absolutely, I agree.
Although I do think that one with Thunder Kiss 65, what is it? Les Exorcisto, yeah. Devil Music Volume 1. I do think that's a killer album. I think that's a great riffy record that I think. Probably doesn't get the credit it deserves. It's definitely a cool record that has a lot of, and he's definitely one of them guys that, obviously a horror fan, being a, you know, a cool horror movie director, but he has a lot of like that kind of dark imagery. They had really interesting outfits, and I think that if I had to choose between the two, I would go, I like the more White Zombie vibe, but when he did his solo stuff, it was definitely more industrial. But I mean, yeah, you're going to get a kind of a two-for-one deal there, because same guy, and he has that industrial vibe to down to a T. So that's his thing, man.
I remember here, like when I first heard them, and I it was very obviously was they were doing something different, and that was the same thing when I first heard Ministry too. I was like, this is really like these guys are like bringing in something different. And up to that point, my sort of take on the industrial metal thing is that like an industrial rock metal, whatever you want to call it, was that they were able to bring keyboards in and still sound really, really heavy. Whereas a lot of bands, when as soon as the keyboard starts, okay, like, you know, it really kind of smooths out the sound, where it starts to sound really pretty and nice, you know. That is not the case with any of these bands. And I love it. So it shows that keyboards can rock your face off.
Which is surprising.
Which I like. As long as you're rocking my face off, you can play the kazoo.
That's all that
I don't
matters.
Care. I care. Let's do one more, then we'll play the next band.
Well, since we talked about Rob Zombie, I guess we're gonna go with his baby brother, Power Man 5000, Spider One. It all started out when Spider One dropped out of art school, bought a cheap 4-track home studio and drum machine, and recorded Much Evil. They gained notoriety with the song, with the remake of Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Spider One's known for using a lot of spoken word in his, and chanting in his vocalization. Lyrics are usually campy and make references to pulp science fiction, including gods, monsters, global annihilation, robots, that whole thing.
This is what it's like when worlds collide.
And it's a lot of electronic in his. So the songs I like are When Worlds Collide, Bombshell, Supernova Goes Pop, Danger Is Go, and How to Be a Human.
Isn't there some relative of Gene Simmons in this band? Isn't it his son or something in this band?
That I don't know. I was just focusing on
But you guys are missing but this is what I had. I had this in quotations. I had this band on my list too. The drummer in Pyroman 5000 is no other than Cannonsburg, Pennsylvania's own Alan Pahanis, the brother of Dave Pahanis.
That's right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's right. I knew this. Yeah, I forgot about that. You're right.
I think in that band he's called Al 3 or some shit like that. He's called Al something, but anyway, just don't call me anything, but call me Al, just like Paul Simons. But Cannonsburg definitely is represented on the map with Pyroman 5000.
So Cannonsburg made it onto the list tonight, guys.
Woo! Yeah, see that?
That's awesome.
So whenever there's a hurricane, I'm coming to Cannonsburg. Me and Al Pahanis.
We'll rock out to some Pyroman 5000. So any other thoughts? You said you had this on your band. What, do you want to talk about them for a minute before we go to the next song?
I only know that When Worlds Collide stuff, too. I had them on my list because it was a band I've heard of before, and it's easier for me to like kind of fake what I can say about it than 20 German bands that I have no freaking clue what they're saying anyway. So.
Legit.
these guys, these young whippersnappers and their lyrics we can't understand. This is Medzilla LV on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We're going to come back and talk about some more industrial rock and metal bands. Stick around, guys. Madzilla on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus with probably the hottest guitar solo that you're going to hear on the whole show. That was really hot guitar playing. That was damn.
Was that two-handed tapping? I heard some going on.
He was doing everything, man. He had good tone too. Yeah. Whoever that, I gotta look that guy up, man. He can play his ass off.
He was just shredding that shit like crazy.
Yeah, that's good. It's good to hear, man. It's good to hear. So we're talking about these industrial rock metal bands: Ministry, Godflesh, KMFDM, Rob Zombie / White Zombie, Par Man. Par Man, 5,000. And who's going to do number six?
That's
you're listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. LudiniBoyRocks.com is where you want to go and check it all out. Eric Waggett just went to LudiniBoyRocks.com. I saw him messaging. I'm like, oh, God, Eric. So go ahead, buddy. What you got there, the Hawk? Yes, Mr. Hawk.
This one here I'm confused about a little bit. So maybe you guys help me out when you're genius level there. This is a band I've seen on pretty much every industrial rock list, and I still don't really know if I agree with 100%, but obviously a lot of commercial success is Marilyn Manson. I mean, is it really that much industrial rock, or is it just, I would think of it just as metal, but that's one that's a little bit, I'm not going to argue with all the listeners, but I mean, as they're on every list that you would think of. I guess there is an industrial flavor to it, but I mean,
I think that not everything he does is industrial, but he went in that realm for a couple of albums.
I think that it definitely has that flavor to it. I think that, like, yeah, definitely. It's really all the guitars and everything. Everything's real processed, you know, and filtered, and it's got that kind of. I would definitely put it there. They don't sound like Rob Zombie.
If you're gonna dabble with industrial, then there's several bands that are probably missing from all of our lists that I'll bring up later that I think is BS, that they weren't on any of the list I've been seeing. So we'll see what happens.
Okay, that's okay. We'll do some honorable mentions. But I would definitely put them on because so many people say that they should be there. So people are definitely hearing that way. But there's a lot of what he does have sequences and stuff like that to it. So there is that element to it. Yeah, I would definitely say that. I think one of
that's
my.
What I mean, I was kind of up in the air. I didn't really disagree with it. I was kind of like in between. I mean, I can definitely hear flavors of it, but I also hear just a straight up rock and metal band. So I mean, it's interesting.
Lily, what's your favorite Marilyn Manson song?
Oh, The Dope Show.
What's your favorite Marilyn Manson song, Keith? You don't like Marilyn Manson?
I don't know. The Beautiful People is kind of a cool riff on. I mean,
my favorite one is I Don't Like the Drugs, but the Drugs Like Me. That's my absolute. I think it's a great riff. That's a great riff. I think it's just a dynamite tune. That song should have been a lot bigger than it was. But yeah, I freaking love Marilyn Manson. So
and I didn't really dig there. I mean, their cover of Sweet Dreams was kind of a yawner for me. So I mean, I don't know.
Some people like it. Like, Howard Stern went, like, he had an orgasm over that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I thought it was like, I like the Eurythmics version better. Not for any nostalgic reason or anything. I just think it sounds better like that. But what's the other one that he has another cover.
He does several covers, but.
Does he do Tainted Love?
Yeah, he did Tainted Love, too, which he can just do whatever he wants. I'm not a big Marilyn Manson fan. I mean, I'll respect it for what it is, and I wanted to put it on the list because people have actually heard of it before. Like I said before, I ramble off 9 German bands the only German people give a shit about, then I'll tell you about Marilyn Manson. You know what I mean? So, like I said, I don't have to be a big fan to understand that he's done something for rock and metal. He's made it, even when times where he wasn't getting, which is hardly ever, is you're getting any kind of positive press, he was least, and when you're getting negative press, you're at least somebody's talking about you and keeping rock and metal in the forefront a little bit. So even when he's screwing up, he's still getting pubbed.
Yeah,
you know?
he was a total sensation. And like, in terms of like, I mean, like Scott Paulson ran a post the other day on Facebook about Todd Rundgren, and he was talking about one of the things that makes rock so special is the stories. And it doesn't matter if they're true or not. Like, and Marilyn Manson was one of those guys. He was a total freaking character. And like, he got, the idea is that these guys lived lives we can only dream of. And maybe they were only dreaming of them too. They may not have really done a lot of stuff that is attributed to them, but it's just like myth. You know, and I think he was on that tail end of that era of those like mythic rock guys that did crazy stuff and overdosed. And I don't know if he actually overdosed, but you know what I mean? Did the crazy.
Well, I mean, if you look at his beginnings, he was just some dorky kid from Ohio named Brian Warner. I mean, that's just, you know, it just took on a persona known as Marilyn Manson, where they take all the names of, you know, ex-beauty queens and serial killers and make a band out of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So, and he removed one of his ribs so that he could fellatiate himself, you know.
Well, you know, if you believe that, I got some beachfront property in Arizona, too. You want to buy it? I got it. I got the title in my pocket.
What do you got, Lily?
Well,
V6?
Before we move on, Marilyn Manson, I wanted to just say he was the first act signed to Trent Reznor's label, and he did a cover of This Is Halloween from the Nightmare Before Christmas soundtrack that I think's killer.
Oh, so, I got to hear that. I've never heard that.
It's amazing.
And maybe, Keith, because he was signed by Trent Reznor, maybe that's where the industrial connection kind of is. We could say that, maybe. So what do you got?
That'll bring me right to my point later.
Okay, brother.
Anyway, have you guys heard of the Jenna Tortures at all?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I love
them. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in our shows.
I finally saw them for the first time last year, but they're formed in Orlando in 1986. They actually have worked with Marilyn Manson at the time that they were in Florida. They proclaim themselves to be the world's sexiest rock band. Jen, the lead singer, while she was in college, founded the band. They were originally called the Festering Jenna Tortures. They've got fused elements of hardcore, punk, metal, and industrial electronics. Her husband is David Vincent from Morbid Angel, who is also the bassist in the band now. So she's got that going for her as well. And they do the BDSM theme. Okay.
Do they actually... I heard this. I heard Fee Waybill say this, and I don't know if this is true. He said that they actually pierced their genitals on stage.
I didn't see that when I was at the show. So maybe, maybe not.
Maybe in their younger days.
Maybe.
Now it's full of holes.
Oh, that's what I've always thought. That's what they were about, man.
I think everybody thinks that because Fee Waybill said that on like Behind the Music or something on VH1. So like that was the only thing I know about that band is that they...
Fee Waybill from the friggin' Tubes?
Yeah.
What the hell does he know about Jenna Tortures?
What he said was that they felt that like when that band came out, they felt they couldn't compete because the Tubes were a very visual band. They had naked dancers on stage. And they had literally people naked dancing on stage, like men and women.
Yeah.
It was they did like a very wild show. And he was contrasting that with the Jenna Torturers. He says, these people actually pierce their own genitalia on stage. We can't compete with that.
Well, they were very tame the night I saw them. I was told by a lot of people that they were very tame. The craziest thing that I saw was they just had like guys on leashes, half naked, running around the stage. But they've also been in Hustler on a 12-page spread, which is kind of cool. But Sin City, Touch Myself, Asphyxiate, Four Walls Black, and One Who Feeds are the best songs by them, in my opinion.
Okay.
Dirtiness.
And I think we're going to just kind of move on. What do you got next, Keith? Unless you want to talk about the Jenna Torturers, unless you're like, that's a favorite band of yours.
No, I mean, if Fee Waybill says, I mean, yeah, he's a beauty, man. Let's move on. I think that I'm going to go with, this isn't actually a band that I don't know a ton of history on, but I do have one of their CDs. Believe it or not, I have a CD. And it's an interesting, just crazy vocal style. And they also, I think, are one of the bands that were sort of in the beginning to the middle of this sound. It's a band called Pitch Shifter. They actually put out an interesting album, Genius, which is, if you listen to the song, Genius, you would find out that's definitely textbook industrial sound, man.
I do not know this band at all. Never heard of them.
Yeah,
everybody on the list, I'm familiar with something about them. Janet, I know the music from every one of these bands. I do not know any music by Jenna Torturers. I know the name Pitch Shifter. You totally got me. I have no clue.
They were one of those like just straight up industrial sounding bands, and that's one of those bands you can't really. That's their sound. I mean, it's not going to be confused with anything else.
Well,
it's
maybe
definitely industrial.
Maybe what we can do next year is get an ASCAP or BMI license, and maybe we can actually play some samples of some of these bands. I think it'll make the podcast better, but it's wildly expensive, and you guys got to support me. I don't mean you guys. You guys support me all the time, but I mean the list
what
audience. You guys have to. You're gonna have to kick in a little something because that's gonna be very expensive.
How much? How much talking?
So what's number nine, Lily?
I'm gonna put Nine Inch Nails.
I'm a working musician, right? You know I ain't got no scratch, man. All right,
I wasn't asking you.
He means the audience, the fans. They're Nine Inch Nails from Cleveland, formed in '88 by Trent Reznor. Only permanent member of the band until the official edition of Atticus in 2016. Recorded Pretty Hate Machine in '89 while he was working as a janitor in a recording studio. The Downward Spiral, and I knew I was going to say that wrong, and The Fragile were released to critical acclaim and commercial success. Their live shows have the thematic visual elements, extensive special effects, and elaborate light shows. You guys, I'm sure, know all of that stuff. They've sold over 20 million records worldwide, nominated for 13 Grammys, and inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2020, the year of crap.
I would say that out of all the bands on the list so far...
This is the heavyweight champion of industrial rock.
Right, but I would also say they're also the most pop, and they're also the most synthy. Sometimes
they're
they're
also the most, like, that. They're hooks, man. They're, like I said...
Pop, yeah.
I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but I mean, they have heaviness with the synth pop. That they have that total perfect fusion of Trent Reznor's basic genius of hearing... melody, and he's like, it's almost like industrial rock, and sometimes it meets, you know, pop to a point where it's radio friendly, but it's heavy. It still has like dance hook grooves to it, and he just hears and sees things that, you know, maybe other industrial artists don't.
It sort of works all around.
I mean, it's the heavyweight. He's the Mike Tyson in his prime of industrial rock.
I a couple things I find really fascinating about them. The songs absolutely are absolute standout. I think out of anybody on this list, maybe Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie, in terms of just great hook songs, Nine Inch Nails, just like Keith said, is, you know, head and shoulders above everybody. but what I find really interesting about them is this is a band that I shouldn't like. It's not a, like when I, you know, I've never was, but because they are pretty synthy. And I found out later on after I got to read about and learn who Trent Reznor was and stuff, that one of Trent's like producing techniques is to try to make guitars sound like keyboards and make keyboards sound like guitars. Mm-hmm. That's like the kind of secret sauce to what they do in terms of the tone, the sounds. And I think that's probably what hooked me, is because I you know, could sense that in or feel that. I think the eye comes across, that comes across as the heaviness and the sound. But yeah, I was hooked instantly. I mean, you know, Head Like a Hole.
Closer.
I'd Rather Die Than Give You Control. I mean, that sounded like nothing. In fact, it was so funny. I'll tell you guys a funny story. I was in a band with this guy, and we had started out as a kind of, like, we were doing, like, late 80s pop rock. This guy could sing anything Bon Jovi ever did. And all of a sudden, he wanted to switch the band to country. And I was like, Brian, why do you want to switch the band to country? He says, the way rock is going, there's no way. He says, there's no way I'm going to get up and sing something like Head Like a Hole. What the hell is that? And I was like, thinking, like, I kind of like that song.
A lot of people like that song.
And this guy was just, he was just that previous generation. Like, it was a cutoff.
They didn't want to accept it.
Yeah, he was just like, I'm done. Like, I can't, you know. And so I think sometimes we get to that point with music where it's just like, I can't go no further. Like, this is the line. I'm going back here. Everything else, I can't do. And
I'm staying here. I'm not.
And it was Nine Inch Nails with, like, really was like cinched it for him. Like, he could not sing rock anymore.
Was it Brian Cole?
No, it wasn't Brian Cole. No. You don't know this guy. This guy's from Indiana County. In fact, I'm not sure if I remember his last name quite off the top of my head. But
I played with a country singer from Indiana County. His name was Brian Miller for years.
Wasn't Miller?
No.
No. We'll talk about it on the after show. Maybe we can work it out. But yeah, it was like, yeah, he was just like, no, you know, just not having it after he heard Head Like a Hole. He's like, my daughter likes that song.
Oh my goodness gracious.
He got the get off my lawn grumpy old man attitude.
That's
going
how
on.
He is. That's it.
What's going on, man? You know, at the time I was about, I was in my early 20s and Brian was like pushing 40. And it was just
holy,
like,
hell, really?
Yeah,
damn.
He was just like, he'd been around a long time. And I'm not talking smack on the guy. It was just his values, his musical sort of taste, you know.
That's
what I mean?
All. Well, everybody got their thing. I mean, if you were 20 and he was 40 at the time, I mean, shit, he probably signed a Declaration of Independence. He don't know what music is.
Dude, I was drinking bourbon when he said, I'm going to spit it everywhere. He was signing the Declaration of Independence.
Wow.
Hawks one-liners. So who's number 10, Lily and Keith, or whoever wants to get Keith, you next. I have no idea where I am.
Another band that I think that, like, just goes back in the day. Like I said, I wish I sometimes have more notes on this stuff, but even Metallica covered this band, Killing Joke. Now, I've listened to some Killing Joke stuff, and does it sound industrial to me? Maybe it was before industrial, or anybody knew what industrial was. So, I mean, I know Metallica's covered a couple of their songs, and I think some of it's on that Garage Inc. album they put out. But Killing Joke's known for a very high-energy live show, and I've never seen them, but I'll take their word for it. And they were at the forefront, if not before, industrial rock. So I like to go back and forth with this and see where it came from.
They are a kind of like precursor. They are, I did go and look up because I had forgotten them. They were, I remember them being really big and listening to them in the very early 90s. but can I say, unless you guys want to say, can I say where the name comes from?
Sure.
It's from Monty Python.
Killing Joke?
Yeah. It's a reference to Monty Python's sketch.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a reference to, there's a sketch where, like, you know, the military has come up with this joke and it's a killing joke, and it, like, yeah, it's so funny that it kills people.
I don't think I've watched enough of his sketches to know that.
Of course, it's a typical Monty, but that is where that's where they got the name from. That's but yeah, it's hard to hear. I know that they are considered industrial. Everything I listen to just sounded kind of like punk rock or like heavy, you know, that kind of alternative rock to me.
That's the thing, too. And another band, like, that I don't think any of you would name anyway, and I do if I apologize. Skinny Puppy's another one that it was, like, on a lot of people's
list. They're on a list, yeah.
It sounds like punk to me. I mean, it sounds like punk and, like, you know, maybe, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know sometimes what industrial rock is categorized as. Some of these bands I scratch my head at because I used to think that I was pretty good at, like, categorizing, getting these bands, like, that's what this is. There's so many freaking genres now, I can't even no more. Yeah, there's some other bands up I had on my list that I wouldn't even think that would be industrial rock, and they were on this list, on a lot of people's list, and it's a little confusing at times.
Yeah. So those of you listening, what is your sort of thoughts on industrial rock? Lily, before you read the your next pick, can you maybe kind of throw out some comments that we're having from
sure. We have some viewers, Roscoe Jack, Earl McBride, Tracy Sampson. Not my mom, Tracy Sampson, a different Tracy Sampson.
I always think that's your mom. That's not your mom?
Nope.
I did not know that.
Brianna Salza. Snowdy Heemskirk commented a couple times. Let me see where he is. He said Rob Zombie is awesome. He said he likes Personal Jesus by Marilyn Manson. That's one we forgot to mention.
There you go.
Happy birthday to Rob Halford.
Happy birthday to Sean Connery. He's 90 years old today.
Rick Ragow.
Is it really? Holy hell. Yeah.
Rick Ragow. I'm sorry if I pronounce anyone's names wrong. Melissa Trumbly's watching. Mark Bradley Davis and Perry Bancroft. And Tiffany Sullivan. Those are our watchers.
Shout out to Bill Damiano, Eric Anthony, and Chris Thunderwolf Dodson over on the Inner Circle page as well. We love you guys.
love me too.
So what do you got? Just got a few more here. We got to wrap up. We're running
short on
time. Yeah, we're running short on time.
Next on my list, Static X. Since 1994, the lineup has fluctuated over the years, but constant member was Wayne Static until he died in 2014.
Well, don't you think they kind of need to end the band if the
not end the band. I will explain. They rose to fame in 99 with the album Wisconsin Death Trip, as everyone knows, where their industrial metal sound attracted attention within the new metal movement of the 90s. So they were able to rise up above that.
What's the song again? What's the song that they did? What's the big song?
I don't know the big song.
Push it, yeah.
Thank you. The album went platinum, combined electronic elements influenced by Ministry, Skinny Puppy, and the harshness of bands like Pantera. Also had techno speed metal and thrash metal included. So the original members decided to bring back Static X with someone who sings, who wears a Wayne Static mask. It's very freaky. I saw it live. I'm not okay with it. It makes me scared. I don't like it at all. They sound great. Don't get me wrong, they sound great. I don't know who the guy is. Apparently some people
do. It's probably Corey Taylor.
I have no idea.
They've heard that song. There's a new Corey Taylor has a new song out called "Kill Mother Effing Corey Taylor." That's the name of his new song.
Really?
It's freaking great. He is so awesome. That man is like, there are very few real rock stars these days, and he is a total. He's got the goods. He's a great songwriter. He's amazing, dude. He can sing Prince. He's freaking everything, man.
I like him as
Corey Taylor,
probably, but it's disturbing to watch it. Don't ever go see it. I'm telling you, they sound great, but
I could say there's one guy, man, right now who can like just and he's got musical chops is Corey Taylor. Anyways, I'm sorry.
I don't like Corey Taylor as a person. I like him as a musician. Anyway, yes, Static X.
Would you like know him personally? Do you have like a bad experience?
No, but I like when I watch him talk on interviews and stuff, he just pisses me off.
What can you say?
Women. What you gonna do, man? What are you gonna do?
I can't do anything. He makes the money, and I don't.
I can't argue with that rack.
But it looked great on Saturday, didn't it? That rose gold dress. Today.
What's the shirt you're wearing?
Horror babe.
Horror babe and the rack. Guys, those of you that do not tune in live, this is what you're missing. See, you're missing the rack.
What about my hair?
Oh, and Keith's beard. Sorry, Keith, forgive me. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy.
Next week, this shit could be like Abe Lincoln, man.
We can start beating it.
I'm going to have the stovetop hat on next week.
That'd be awesome.
Abe Lincoln's been canceled. So who do you got, Keith? We had Static.
Why don't we just do the big
one? I'm just going to go real quick on it. Like I said, I actually doing an album. I never would have thought of this band as Industrial Weather, Fear Factory. Fear Factory was on every freaking list I've seen. And I thought they were just a metal band, but obviously some people think they're industrial rock. So I can see that maybe in some of the really crazy, like overly saturated vocal style. But I mean, to me, it sounds like a metal band. But I mean, hey, what the hell do I know?
Again, some of these guys are using electronic sounds and distorting them and stuff. So it's like kind of hard to distinguish it from guitar.
I think this band like started out more as like is just straight up like heavy band
death metal,
but they went to like they did a little bit more industrial stuff later on. Millennium is the album that I own, and it has a little mixture of both. So I mean, it's
do either one of you guys have Stabbing Westward on your list?
I didn't put it. I refused.
You don't like
that? I have Orgy on there, but it's only because they're known for a cover.
It's Orgy, not Orgy.
Stop yourself.
Sorry.
It is Orgy though. It is. They'll correct you.
I would have thought it was Orgy.
It's Orgy.
I call it Orgy.
So I'm putting them on the list. And who's going to talk about Rammstein?
I have it if you want me to talk about it.
Jeez, I waited this whole podcast.
We thought you wanted to do it. We thought you wanted the crown and glory.
You guys are so better than me. I'm just a kind of like, yeah. I'm refereeing tonight.
All right.
So Keith, what you going to talk about Rammstein too? Or what were we going to talk about?
I know one song by Rammstein. I know they're German and I know Du Hast. And I don't even know what the hell that means.
Du Hast means...
I hate...
I'll kick your ass.
You hate me.
Yeah.
Du Hast me. Means Duhastamish means you hate me.
To me, I have three bands that made none of the list I've looked up, and hopefully, if you guys see them, I have three bands I'm pissed they're not on no one's list that are all that are industrial.
Okay, hold on. Let's get a little bit on Rammstein.
We'll get this out of the way first,
and then we'll do our
Right. Berlin, 1984. Six members of the band have remained unchanged throughout the history of the band, as has their approach to songwriting. Lindemann writing and singing the lyrics over industrial pieces that the rest of the band have completed beforehand is how they do their writing process. They literally started a band after they won a contest, and they were able to record demos and send them to different record labels. I cannot pronounce most of the stuff with the names, but the second album was released in 97, resulted in a worldwide tour that lasted 4 years. Commercially, the band has been very successful, earning several number one albums as well as gold and platinum certs in countries around the world. Live shows are amazing. Obviously, we're missing it this year, but they're going to be touring again next year, so everybody can be patient.
That was on my list of shows I had to see if they were, because they didn't come to the United States very often. I really wanted to say that.
Right. That's one of the ones that if you have a chance to see it in America, please go see it. But Du Hast, Mein Herz Brennt, America Modern, and Mein Tail is there.
Benzene.
Or that one, too.
Benzene's been, Liquid Benzene. Metal on Sirius has been playing Benzene a lot.
But yeah, amazing. Probably top three.
I bought that record that came out in 97, and I played the living crap out of it. I played it over and over. That was like a record we would listen to. Me and my bass were listening on our way to rehearsal. We drove from Greensburg to Indiana for rehearsal, and we would listen to that record, and he would drink an entire six-pack on the way to rehearsal.
That's great. While listening to Rammstein.
JT, and we would laugh. They would sing in German, and we would giggle. Because it all sounded like...
That's the thing about Rammstein, is the fact that their songs are in German. That success in the United States, where most people can't speak English as it is, even ones that do speak English, and they're basically speaking in German, and they're still getting airplay on Headbangers Ball or whatever the hell show they were on, and they still were doing well by singing in freaking German. That's amazing to me.
That tells you something.
The grooves are really killer, and they have such a great feel and such a great sound. Like, it really makes you want to move, man. It's good stuff. And Hawk, you had I love your perspective, dude. Like, no matter what happens, Hawk has like this like great perspective, and you make it all make sense, brother. Quit playing with your chin.
Let me bitch now about good, Lily. Good.
I'm just going like this. I had nothing important to say.
Hawk is stroking his chin the whole. He's got peach fuzz now, so he's like stroking it like he's got a long beard. You got a little ways to go, buddy.
These three, I know. That'll take me to 157. Can I name three bands that I couldn't find on anybody's list?
Bullshit.
One, the first one is Voivod. What kind of music out of? It's not industrial. What the hell is Voivod? And they had some success. Nothing Face was industrial as shit. They did a cool version of a Pink Floyd song that's probably better than the Pink Floyd version. So what is Voivod? If I'm wrong, what the hell is Voivod then? Another one is... where the theme songs for Headbangers Ball for years was a band from New York called Prong. If you listen to Beg to Differ, what's that? It's industrial rock. Nobody had that on their list. And Headbangers Ball was playing that shit 24/7. It was their theme song for years. And the final one, which this guy was the freaking touring guitar player in Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor told him to hit the road, write his own stuff. Where's Filter on any of these lists? This is bullshit.
I saw Filter on one Filter? List.
Hey, Man, Nice Shot is a freaking industrial song. Short Bus, all that stuff is like industrial as hell, and they're not on anybody's list, and I've looked at five lists. Filter was not on any of them.
I agree with you about Voivod and Prong. I didn't see them on anything, but I did see Filter.
Filter was on one list that I found.
I did see Filter on a list. I did
just
see
one.
Okay, and I was like, that's right, they are industrial. Yeah, they do got that industrial thing going on. Good call.
I know they got a little bit lighter later on with the take a picture and all that shit, but you don't sit there and tell me that songs like Dose, Hey Man, Nice Shot, Welcome to the Fold. I mean, these songs are heavy, but they got that growling nasty sound of industrial metal. And basically that's another band too. It's probably one guy, Richard Patrick, the Terminator's little brother, and he just still, you know, I don't know what they do nowadays, but that's an industrial band, and they had a huge radio hit, man. Several of them.
Wait a minute, can we stop, pause, time out? Is literally Robert Patrick's little brother? Are you being serious?
Richard Patrick is Robert Patrick, the guy to play Terminator.
Right. I knew Robert Patrick. I don't know if I had heard that before or not, but okay. Cool. See, guys, you tune in and you learn. I learned something. Lily, did you learn anything tonight?
I learn everything every week.
There you are. Leave it to the Hawk. I'm getting a T-shirt. Yeah, leave it to the Hawk.
The Terminator's little brother can sing, and he has his own little band called Filter, and which, like I said, pissed me off. There was none of them on the list. And I listened to Welcome to the Fold today, and what was it? Hey Man, Nice Shot, I've heard a million times, and they do 5,000 remixes. Dose is a cool song. Short Bus is a really good album, and I think that Title of Record is another record they put out, another album they put out, which was heavy, heavy industrial influence. And that was, like, I thought they would be up in the top 10 of a lot of these bands, and they never got any love, man.
I just wonder if because they had the, like, Take a Picture song, and maybe people kind of, like, just kind of forgot or whatever, They don't have the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus with a Hawk to remind them that Filter was industrial.
Yeah, I don't think it's right to put, like, a lot of these bands, like I said, the bands that even had super success, like a Rob Zombie, like a White Zombie, like Marilyn Manson. Filter was just as industrial as were and more.
Great point. Excellent. Lily got something to share or something? I see you. Lily is playing around on her phone.
I'm multitasking. Sorry.
We're at work and she's playing around on her phone.
I'm multitasking.
That's $5 off your pay. That's five sips of White Claw you can't have.
I'm going to chug it all. Don't even tell me what's what.
All right, man. Hawk, you got anything coming up?
I think the black cherry is the best one.
I like the grapefruit. I'm surprised really? I like it, but I
thought, yeah, that's not bad either.
Hawk, you got anything coming up you want to plug or announce before we boogie on out of here?
If you're in the Mississippi area on Saturday, I'll be playing a gig at Bowie's, which would be in, where the hell is that, Long Beach or somewhere in Mississippi. It's right across the Louisiana-Mississippi border, and I'll be there. So it's Bowie's Saturday.
Dewey.
Be there. I'll be there on Labor Day, too, but, you know, just for now, we'll take it one step at a time. As long as I don't get rained out, we'll be there.
Sounds great. Good. Lily, anything you want to announce? Your show?
My show's on Thursdays, Hot Licks with Lily Six, Rock Rage Radio. Go to the app, or download the free app, or go to rockrageradio.com. Diamond Rex will be on Thursday for an interview, so yay.
Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, guys. You can go to lulombardirocks.com. I will be playing this Saturday from 1 to 4 at the Green Dance Winery with Mark Shuttleworth. So if you're out in the Mount Pleasant area, it's very cool, very nice. It's so spread out that, like, they were social distancing before, like, it was a thing, so you don't got to worry. Tons of, like, great baked goods and wine. Ooh. And it's a very, very, very nice atmosphere, very relaxing. All outdoors, a cool stage. So you can come check out the Green Dance Winery with Mark Shuttleworth and myself. Check us out, guys. Shout out to Rock Rage Radio, as always, for taking care of us and having us as a part of their team. Thank you, Wolf's Customs, wolfscustoms.online, Chris Thunderwolf Dodson. By the way, Chris Thunderwolf Dodson and Raven are watching, and I owe you guys t-shirts. I haven't forgotten. So you guys, everybody have a great week, and check us out if you are, you'd like a little bit more, you'd like to hang out with some cool folks, you're tired of kind of all the noise, I mean, like all the, you know, politics constantly on social media, go to lulombardirocks.com. One of the things you get is access to our private Facebook group, and it's just music. We're chilling, right? Talking about music, relaxing, having a good time, so you can get away from all that crap. All right, guys, we got one more band. We're going to play Never Wake, and we're going to get the hell out of here. You guys have a great week. We'll catch you on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.